Have you finished your personal statement yet? Now's the perfect time to get it professionally reviewed by a medical school HQ expert advisor. We have former directors of admissions, admissions officers, and the like on our small team of amazing people. They have the inside knowledge from reading thousands and thousands and thousands, tens, if not 100,000 personal statements going through the process and setting up the process for their whole committee. They know exactly what medical schools look for and the common red flags that can get your entire application thrown out. Take advantage of our flash sale right now, going through May 6th, up to 6,000 characters reviewed for just $150. That's a $75 discount on our regular price. Go to editmyps.com. Again, that's editmyps.com. MapsCon 2022. We are live. We are here. We are ready to rock and roll. Hello, and welcome to The Pre-Med Years, where we believe that collaboration, not competition, is key to your success. I'm your host, Dr. Ryan Gray, and in this podcast, we share with you stories, encouragement, and information that you need to know to help guide you on your path to becoming a physician.
All right. Well, to kick off our day, we are going to talk through how to understand application systems. So this is really exciting. We've got two folks representing two of the three big application systems this year. So we'll go ahead and bring these guys on camera. Director of TMDSAS, Enrique Jasso, and the Assistant Director of Application Services and Digital Outreach at AECOM, Taylor Jasko. So thank you guys so much for being here. And Ryan, I will hop off and let you take away this great conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. And just one small correction. Enrique Jasso.
I should have known.
Come on. You speak the Spanish. Come on.
You see, hablo español un poquito, pero se me olvidó que es Jasso.
It's Jasso.
All right. Take it away.
I make that mistake once. I will never forget. Enrique never let me live it down. Well, Taylor, Enrique, I'm so excited to be chatting with you today about application systems. I'll be the AAMC stand-in. I do not represent the AAMC. What I say does not represent them. But I will kind of give the kind of side of AMCAS. Taylor, you are here to talk about ACOMAS. And Enrique, TMDSAS, that we just need to get off of everyone's chest right away. You guys were first.
Yes,
You were first.
100%. We predate AMCAS. We started in 1968.
Yeah, 1968. Love it. All right, so let's chat real quick. The application service is really the first kind of big foray into, I'm applying to medical school. This is my goal. Here's this big, what I like to call the open book test to try to get in to medical school. Taylor, I want to start with you from the ACOMAS side of things. What is like the big support email that comes in all the time that you just wish every student would know? The simple mistake that they seem to be making year in and year out that we can fix right here, right now?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I do want to quickly, before I answer that, go into something that you mentioned during our introduction. I think so many students think of these application processes as something that's very scary. And I just want to say first off that the whole point of a centralized application system, like the ones that we all represent here today, is to streamline the process for you all. So, you know, we're helping you to compile the most important pieces, the core pieces of your application, and we're just sending them out in one blast to the schools that you select. So really, I understand it's a daunting process, but it's one that's supposed to support you. So just want to preface with that.
Yes.
In terms of, I think, one of the biggest, not mistakes that we see, but something that happens often with ACOMAS, which of course supports the colleges of osteopathic medicine, is our schools want to hear why medicine, why patient care, but specifically we want to hear why osteopathic medicine. Of course, there is the allopathic route, and that is a bit more common. But if you're choosing to apply to our colleges of osteopathic medicine, we want to hear why. So that could be because you had a great experience with the DO in your own care or in care of your family, or maybe you have a great mentor that's a DO. So that kind of arguing in your personal statements, in your different shadowing and internship experiences, that's certainly something that our schools love to see. Of course, they'll consider all applicants, but when you make a specific case for osteopathic medicine, that's going to make your application shine.
Interesting. I love that perspective, because I actually, our recommendation is don't make it specific to osteopathic medicine in terms of the personal statement, because the secondary essays usually have that question kind of built in of like, why are you interested in osteopathic medicine? So that's an extra little take there. So thank you for that. Enrique, TMDSAS is the special one of the group. You guys have lots of extra essays. Your activity section, much shorter compared to AMCAS and ACOMAS. AMCAS being 700 characters for the activities, ACOMAS being 600. TMDSAS is 300. Talk about some unique aspects of TMDSAS. And again, kind of the same question to you. Where do you see students making some common potential mistakes or errors that can be easy fixes to help them through the application process?
Sure. Just to address the elephant in the room. Yes, our activity section is much shorter. However, we don't have any limits to how many activities you can enter. In fact, we ask that applicants enter activities since they graduate from high school. So for some of you non-trads out there, I hope you have kept a really good journal of everything that you've done since you graduated from high school. TMDSAS.
That's what MAPT is for.
Oh, yeah. That's a great plug right there. Yeah. So in terms of TMDSAS, we are different because we're Texas. We serve 21 member institutions. That includes all public medical schools in Texas and Baylor College of Medicine, in addition to two veterinary schools, four dental schools, and a new podiatry school that just opened in Texas.
Yeah.
And so we serve quite a few member institutions that are of a big variety, but we do our best effort to make sure that the application stays the same. And so we have a flat rate application fee, whether you apply to one or all 14 medical schools. That is a $200 application fee. So it behooves you to apply to all of our medical schools as part of TMDSAS. And we strive to maintain a lower application fee. We don't offer a fee assistance program, but our application fee has been historically very low. In fact, I know some national medical schools whose secondary application fee is more expensive than the TMDSAS application fee. So,
not to name any
that's
names.
A big one for us.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's huge.
We only have an hour, so I'll keep it to it. And then, of course, you know, there are some differences between our application services. But I think you'll find by and large that the application, I mean, is asking the same things.
Yep.
You know, we ask you, why do you want to become a doctor? That's one of your essays. What motivates you to pursue this pathway? And all in all, you know, we provide services to make sure that you are able to put your best foot forward and really put forward the application that best reflects your preparation over the past few years. And so we do have, kind of coming back to the question, what is the one thing I wish people would know? It's that we're here to help, and we have several services that we make available, and they're completely free of charge. We have weekly office hours sessions on Mondays through YouTube that you can join and ask questions. We have a published application guide that constantly keeps getting updated based off questions that we're getting from applicants, just to make sure that any communication issues are kind of addressed and that you're able to do what you need to do in getting to the next step in your career.
Love it. Love it. Taylor, I want to go back to you. Enrique just mentioned the fee assistance program. Texas does not offer one. AMCAS, the AAMC, and ACOM do offer fee assistance programs. There's one interesting kind of difference with ACOM and AAMC. AAMC, their fee assistance program obviously covers the MCAT because they're in charge of that. But their fee assistance program, you can apply for it and it kind of lasts for the year, whatever that is. Acomis has an interesting twist where once you're approved for the fee assistance program, you kind of need to submit your application relatively quickly. I'm assuming that catches people off guard sometimes. Can you talk about that nuance there with the fee assistance program through Acomis and kind of how students, what students potentially should be looking at when applying for the fee assistance program through ACOM?
Yeah, that's great. So just a quick overview of our fees. So your first application with Acomis will cost $198. And each additional designation, so each additional school that you choose to apply to, will cost $50. We do have a fee waiver program. It's a first-come, first-served basis. So you'll apply for that, and that'll be reviewed on our side if you meet the requirements, or if you appeal the decision and are eventually granted. You do have a limited time to submit your application. We have that just so we can ensure that our funds are being used appropriately. You know, we have a limited amount each cycle, so we want to be sure that those students who are actively applying to schools are awarded those funds. So if you are awarded a fee waiver and you sit on that for a while, you know, we're not sure if you actually intend on applying to school. Yeah. So we would rather redirect that money to students who certainly are going to submit their application. So that's kind of our decision on that. Again, you know, there's no rush to apply. So I'm sure we'll probably get into this a little bit later in the presentation. But this year, for example, the Acomis system opened on May 4th, but schools actually don't even begin receiving your applications until mid-June. Yeah. So there's no major rush. So we typically recommend that you sit on your application for a while, make sure that you take the time to apply, fill everything out. And at that point, once you're ready to submit, you could apply for the fee waiver. So once you receive the fee waiver, everything's ready to go. One other note about our fee waivers, and you can find additional information on our choosedo.org website, you do get a few extra bonuses with that fee waiver. So the fee waiver will cover the first $198, that initial application fee, and you'll also have access to some interview tips and kind of training, some different additional preparation tools as well.
Awesome. Let's go ahead and bring up the slides that we have prepared. We'll bring up yours first here, Taylor, and you can talk through them, and I'll drive the slides.
Perfect. Thanks. So yes, of course, Acomis. We represent the American Association of Colleges of Osteopathic Medicine, and we manage the Acomis application, which is essentially the primary application for students interested in attending any colleges of osteopathic medicine apart from the state system of Texas, which Enrique will handle.
Oh, yeah.
On our next slide, you can see a map of all of our member institutions. So we currently have 38 colleges of osteopathic medicine with a total of 61 teaching locations. So 38 schools, 61 different campuses. And as you can see, those span across a total of 35 states, really pretty much anywhere in the U.S. So we have a good section there. And we do have a couple in Texas. Just yeah. Going to throw that out there as well.
and I just want to throw out there for everyone watching, Dio, they're real doctors. Like, let's get rid of this myth that osteopathic physicians are not real physicians, that they have limitations here in the United States and in many other countries around the world. And ACOM, the AOA, is working hard to expand everywhere. They're real doctors. So they have full privileges. They can do surgery. They can do everything. So
they can do it all.
Yes.
Exactly.
We've got to stop this craziness of DOs aren't real doctors.
I guess I wish I had answered that for your first question. What's the one thing we wish everyone knew? DOs are real doctors.
Precisely. Yeah.
As you said, they can practice in any field, any specialization, just like MDs.
Yeah. And there can be some confusion, and I often get it from immigrants because there is another DO degree in other parts of the world that is very similar to physical therapy. And so those are not the same as osteopathic physicians here in the United States. So some confusion potentially from that. But other than that, if you're in the States, MD equals DO, DO equals MD. They're on a level playing field for career opportunities, for salaries, for privileges, for everything. So I just want to get that off my chest.
Precisely. No, thank you. So as I mentioned briefly, the just kind of a general application timeline. So ACOMAS will open for submissions in May of each year. As I mentioned, there is a little bit of a delay between when we open and when applications begin processing and are delivered to the schools. So there's no rush on, you know, May 4th. You do not have to be ready to click submit. In fact, in most cases, it would behoove you to wait a little while and make sure that everything is as good as it can be. Of course, make sure that your materials are reviewed by someone you trust, perhaps a writing center at your school or an advisor. So then in mid-June, schools can begin receiving and processing your applications, and they may ask you to complete a secondary application. In those secondary applications, they'll often have supplementary essays where they'll want to hear why you're specifically interested in their specific program. They'll have, you know, different questions and different things that they'll require of you. And you can be invited to interview at any point after the mid-June timeframe. So college deadlines range from October through April. Most of our comms maintain a deadline on or around February 1st, and admission decisions are made on a rolling basis. So while you don't have to be prepared to submit your application in May, we do generally suggest that you try to submit in that late summer, early fall kind of timeframe, just so you can be considered you know, in kind of that first round of applicants.
Yeah. And rolling admissions is confusing for a lot of people because college admissions is not rolling admissions. And so, again, rolling admissions, I like to liken it to a giant game of musical chairs where instead of one less chair for every player, there are less chairs and more players every single round. So it does behoove most applicants to get their application in a little bit earlier. But don't rush a sloppy application, as Enrique often talks about some people submitting applications without a personal statement, with a note that says "put personal statement here," and then they submitted it. Oh no! And I'm gonna steal your slides for 1 second here, Taylor. For the AMCAS timeline, very similar timeline. May opens up. June is when they start receiving. So there's that same delay between submission and when the medical schools start getting the applications. And so students are often confused, like what's the delay there? That's just behind the scenes processing and QA and making sure all the systems are up and running. And AMCAS usually gets applications about a week later than the ACOMAS school. So and then applications are going out and secondaries are coming and all that fun stuff. All right. Where'd my slide? There it goes.
Yeah. So this last slide, just if you have any needs for support with the ACOMAS system, or if you just have kind of general questions about osteopathic medicine and that admissions process, you can email choosedo@acom.org. That's kind of our central email, and our team's coordinator will pass it on to whoever can best support you. If you are applying, if you're a current applicant and you have a question, if maybe, for example, your letters of recommendations haven't come through yet, or if you have a specific issue with an ACOMAS, you can contact our ACOMAS support at acomasinfo@liaisoncast.com, or you can call their number as well. They're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Eastern time, and just be sure to have your CAS ID number ready when contacting them. That makes the process a lot faster. And the link was on the slide earlier. ChooseDO.org is your main resource. That's we'll have our ChooseDO Explore there, which is a great tool, and that allows you to explore all of our colleges of osteopathic medicine. So you can go into each program, you can filter by different requirements, so by different MCAT score averages, If they require a specific kind of letter of recommendation from a physician, for example, all of that kind of program specific information can be found in our Explorer. And one other item that I'd like to plug here is that on December 7th, actually, we have a really exciting event coming up. It is our virtual expo. So we will have representatives from a number of our colleges of osteopathic medicine, and it'll be an entirely virtual format. You can pop in and out of different virtual booths, we call them, and you can actually chat with admissions representatives from your schools. So I can put the link for that in our private chat, and maybe we can get that on the screen later, but definitely, that's a great opportunity for our students.
That's awesome. I love going to those virtual expos. I always learn something when I'm there. I use an anonymous email and name. I don't want them to see, oh, Ryan's here. I'm going to not say something because he's going to put it on the podcast.
That's fair. Or they'd be like, whoa, you're such a terrific candidate. We don't even need your application. You're in.
I'm in. Awesome. And then one big thing, I always send people to the Choose DO Explorer, which is awesome. I hope every year it gets better and better and better. One of the things that through my years of communicating with ACOM, one of the big things they want me to communicate, and maybe it's the same, is that there's this myth out there that you have to shadow a DO to apply to DO schools, that you have to have a DO letter to apply to DO schools. The Choose DO Explorer, last time I checked it was a couple weeks ago, there is one school that still says they require a DO letter of recommendation. That's ARCOM, the Arkansas College of Osteopathic Medicine, as far as I know. Obviously, requirements change every year, so keep going onto that website, reach out to schools, but you don't have to have direct osteopathic experience and shadowing and all that stuff. You can do your research, you can understand, you can talk to people without potentially having those resources. So I just wanted to get that out there as well. Enrique, we have a couple slides for you here as well. What a beautiful picture, Enrique. That's
right.
Did you do that yourself?
Clearly emblematic. Of course I did not. It's visually appealing. Our creative lead actually came up with this, and we really like it.
Nice.
In fact, if you see us in an in-person event, we actually have stickers of this that you can use. So
right.
Hopefully for next year, MathCon, we'll definitely be there.
Love it.
To share our stickers.
Holding you to that.
Yeah. So for TMDSAS, we've gone over a few things. I shared that we have 21 member institutions. Recently, UT Tyler School of Medicine has joined TMDSAS as our newest medical school. And I also shared that the UT Rio Grande Valley School of Podiatric Medicine has joined as well. And they're the first medical school in Texas.
Nice.
And it's a huge region that was missing a podiatric medical school. So we're really excited to have these healthcare professionals joining our state.
Yeah. And podiatric medicine, just in case people don't know, like, I consider DPMs as close to MD or DO as you can get without actually having an MD or DO. It's 4 years of medical school. It's all the same prereqs. You typically require the MCAT as well. You're doing a surgical residency typically after. Mm-hmm. You just are kind of relegated to certain parts of the body, depending on the state that you're in. So, yeah,
exactly.
It's an awesome degree for a lot of people.
We actually did a session with a school kind of debunking some of the myths about podiatric medicine. In Texas, they do require the MCAT.
Yep.
So, and then it's a flat rate application fee. So if you apply to medical school, you might as well apply to podiatric school as well.
Might as well.
And so we're really excited to have the school on board. And as I mentioned, we'll talk about a resource in a couple of slides that will point you to that session that we did with them.
Nice.
Yeah. So for the TMDSAS application, there are certain timelines that we kind of want to adhere to. Just as Taylor mentioned, we opened in early May. As Ryan mentioned, we also opened in early May. We do have a uniform deadline of November 1st, and it's sometime around there whenever the next business day is each cycle. And so what we want to kind of walk through is that throughout the cycle, obviously certain things take time to process. Your application will take up to 4 weeks to process. And so we urge applicants to submit their applications as early as possible because of the whole musical chairs metaphor that Ryan shared earlier. You want to make sure that your application's in while the medical schools are starting to take a look at applications. However, during that same time, TMDSAS does not require you to have your MCAT test scores, your letters of evaluation submitted. We don't even require transcripts until you're accepted. And so during the time when your application is being processed, you might overlap that with the MCAT tests, coming back, getting your scores back, and then releasing those to TMDSAS while we are processing your applications. Similarly, for letters of evaluation, that time could be spent in making sure that all your letters are submitted so that when your application is transmitted to the schools, it's a complete application and you don't have to worry about anything else. And then you can start digging into all the secondaries and CASPERs and all the other things that you need to take care of. And so that's essentially what we're talking about here. And just as a reminder, TMDSAS, we don't require your transcripts until you receive an acceptance offer at a medical school.
What happens if a student does send them, just thinking like they're just in the routine because ACOMAS and AMCAS want them?
I mean, besides our grumbling, they sit in a pile and until the applicant receives an acceptance offer,
okay,
we won't even be able to take a look at them. So
will you request them again or no?
We would.
You do, yeah, request them again. Okay. So the student, yes, will have to pay another $5 or $10 to the school to send them.
Exactly. Because if you are in the middle of school, you send them in the summer, you already have a fall semester by the time acceptances, yep, go out. So we want to see those grades.
Yeah. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And then here we have a QR code. If you hold up your phone, this is we lovingly call this our link farm. Just all of the places to take a look at. Particularly, I want you all to focus on the Inside Health Education website. It's insidehealtheducation.com. It's our newsroom for anything going on with TMDSAS, any activities that we're doing, any events that we're a part of, as well as some kind of thinking questions to help you along the way. We have some articles about what happens when you have a bad semester, what you should be doing to prepare for medical school, how to prepare for a virtual interview and making sure that you're all set up for those. And, you know, it's a really helpful resource that we keep updating regularly. I saw in the chat earlier, somebody was asking, what happens if we aren't able to find the link for the sessions. I see the barcode isn't working. I'll send the link anyway. It's this insidehealtheducation.com. So you can go there, and I'm going to make sure that we correct that barcode. My apologies. I tried to be cool.
It probably works.
Yeah.
User error.
So, yeah. InsideHealthEducation.com.
Yeah.
And that will take you to that location. But yeah, really helpful resource and anything that's coming up. We actually have two sessions that are coming up later this month with Altus Assessments. They are the folks that run CASPER.
Yep.
And so they're actually going to be joining us, and we're going to kind of throw them off their loop for a bit, because we're actually going to be asking questions to demystify what CASPER is and kind of try to break the sense that they're the boogeyman around there, and really just kind of get to the bottom of what it is that you can do to start kind of making sure that you have everything in a row for CASPER. I know we've heard that you can't prepare for CASPER, but we're gonna get to the bottom of that.
We're gonna get. Enrique, you're ruining my mojo, man. We got Kelly on later today talking about CASPER.
Well, you'll get there first. You're
okay.
You prime them. Yeah, there we go. And then for any advisors watching, we're actually gonna have an advisors dedicated session with Altus that same week. And so if you are interested in joining that, go to our website, tmdsas.com, scroll to the bottom, and we have a place where you can register for our newsletter if you'd like to get some information about those sessions.
Yeah. Quick plug for the advisors, Taylor and Enrique. What resources do the advisors have? Because one thing I've noticed is that there can be a lot of turnover among the advisor kind of crew out there at different colleges. And sometimes they don't know all the amazing resources that you all provide to the advisors. Where can advisors go find some information to help them with their students?
I'll let Taylor go since I've been talking for a while.
Perfect. So for us, that choosego.org is kind of the main resource for potential applicants and advisors alike. And then we also have on our acom.org website, we have a specific section for advisors. I can put the link for that in the chat in just a minute. But that'll have some additional information as well. And then we're always happy to provide, we have a few different documents that we can send you in PDF. You can print out. I have one of them right here, for example, kind of our osteopathic medicine fast facts. Nice. So we have some different things that we're able to provide that you can pass along to our students. So choosedo.org, acom.org. And if you have additional questions, feel free to give us an email.
Awesome. Definitely. Enrique, any specific place for advisors to go to?
Yeah, we have a dedicated page on our website for advisors. If you go to getsupport@tmbsas.com, there's a link for advisors. Often advisors are also our evaluators. And so we have some dedicated pages kind of addressing some of the common issues that evaluators face. But I think our outreach with evaluators really is more focused through the National Association for Advisors of Health Professions, as well as the Texas dedicated group TAP as well. And so we actually take great pride in our engagement with advisors. And, you know, most advisors throughout the state actually have my phone number and will call me or text me if they have any issues. So we really do a lot of engagement with our advisors and really dedicate a lot of resources to make sure that they're well supported to support all of the applicants.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. In these last 15 minutes or so, let's go ahead and open it up to Q&A with the students watching. If you're on Instagram, we're streaming there live as well. Go to mapped.tv to ask questions on the YouTubes and we'll be able to pull it up here. So what questions do we have? Rosemary asks, can you explain the TMDSAS match process? That's one thing we did not get into. How does it affect students / schools and impact the selection process? So I know you have an amazing video on what that process looks like. I used it when I was writing my application process book. Can you briefly talk about the match process for TMDSAS? Because that's very unique.
Of course. So TMDSAS does not have rolling admissions for medical applicants by and large. If you're a Texas resident medical applicant, you actually participate in the TMDSAS match. What the match does is that you will go in and rank all of the schools where you've interviewed, and then all of our schools will rank the applicants that they have interviewed, and we put them into this big fancy algorithm and produce a match. That happens in, I think, March 3rd of next year for this cycle. And it happens in early March. And so the idea there is that all of the schools would have an equitable distribution of all applicants. That way we don't have one school that has all the 528s and 4.0s or another school that has to really engage with a different subset of the applicant pool, maybe, you know, those that are more mission aligned. So this allows the schools to have an equitable distribution of applicants. For you as the applicant, the match day is not the end all be all for all acceptances. Of course, as you would imagine, some folks match to a school and then get an offer somewhere else. And then there's just a lot of movement that ends up happening. All of that's explained in that video and that's available at teambsas.com. In our application guide, we have a link to that video. And so in a nutshell, there is some strategy that you can employ just to make sure that you are putting your best foot forward at the schools that you really want to attend, and then making sure that you are continuing to be engaged after the match in case you are able to rank match to a or be accepted rather at a higher ranked school. So all of that's explained in that video.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the match process, same algorithm that ARIS uses, the big NRMP match. So it's a fun one and very different. And I don't know if you said it or not, something that some students don't know, the match is only for Texas residents, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So everyone else has to wait until the normal kind of release of med school acceptances during that time. And then just, again, a couple other nuances here. ACOMIS and ACOM, you guys do not have any sort of restrictions around when schools can start offering acceptances. That is different with AMCAS schools where they have to wait typically until October 15th, mid-October, if you're not doing early decisions. So some little nuances there. Awesome.
And,
great
and
question.
We adhere to that, yep. The MCAS timeline as well. So we won't extend any offers until October 15th.
Yep.
So if you are a medical applicant that's a Texas resident, you would get a pre-match offer. And if you're out-of-state resident, you would receive an outright offer of acceptance.
Awesome. All right. Next question. Thank you, Rosemary, for that one. If denied a fee waiver in error, is there a way to appeal that decision? So, Taylor, probably for you, since TMDSAS does not have the fee assistance program.
Yes, there is a way to appeal the decision when you receive your notification about the status of your fee waiver. You'll be provided the process, the steps in order to do that. The appeal process at that point, then those appeals will come directly to our team at ACOM, and we can read your explanation. It's still, we still have specific guidelines that you have to meet. So it's not like, you know, you can submit an appeal and explain that you've had a tough year, or, you know, things like that. Unfortunately, it is still pretty objective, but we do have certain guidelines that maybe your specific numbers don't reflect that we could then grant you that fee waiver for.
Yeah. And again, just some nuances from AMCAS and ACOMAS in terms of fee waivers. You had mentioned it earlier. ACOM does set aside a specific amount of money each year. And once that kind of fund runs out, then the fee waivers, the fee assistance program is kind of closed for that year. The AAMC does not have a cap. So everyone who qualifies will receive a fee assistance program award at that point. So a little bit of a difference there.
And one note I'd like to make quickly on that point. Thank you for making me think of this. So even if we do run out of the fee waivers, if you would typically qualify, we would still alert your schools regardless.
Awesome.
So in your application, it would be noted that you would have received a fee waiver if we had the funds. So then they can take that into account and perhaps give their own fee waiver for your supplemental application.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. And just a random note, because I've talked to students about this. If you did not get a fee waiver, you did not qualify for fee assistance program, and you're out of money, like, reach out to schools and say, hey, I would really love to apply to your school. Is there any way that you can waive your secondary fee? A lot of schools are very accommodating in that way. So be upfront, be honest, and hopefully the school will be able to waive those secondary fees, because they add up very quickly. Awesome. Great question, Bethany. Catherine asks, just to clarify, TMDSAS has an application fee of $200, and that covers all the schools in Texas. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to apply to all 21, go for it.
Yeah.
It does sound too good to be true. I agree.
I agree. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
No strings attached. Zach, none. As far as Texas schools go, there are many I am considering. Rumor has it over 90% of applicants are taken from Texas, the state of Texas. Is that true? Mm-hmm. So one little caveat there, 90% of matriculants, right? Not necessarily applicants. So there is a law on the books. Enrique, do you want to explain that real quick?
Sure. This is not a rumor. It's a law. And that's that in Texas, one of the reasons why we have tuition rates so low is that the state of Texas actually subsidizes the tuition for medical schools throughout the state. And as part of that, they have capped the school's admissions of out-of-state applicants to no more than 10%. So yes, 90% of applicants are Texas residents, or 90% of matriculants are Texas residents. But that shouldn't stop you from applying. Earlier in the chat, we shared out a data report that shows in-state and out-of-state applicants, and you can take a look at the distribution of MCAT scores, GPAs. And while they are competitive, it's probably not as difficult as you would think that it is to apply as an out-of-state applicant to Texas. So don't let that discourage you from applying to Texas schools.
Yeah, big one, big one. So a lot of people are like, I'm moving to Texas. It's cheap. Jacob asks, do you expect application costs to decrease in the future? No. Yeah, probably not. That's just, unfortunately, the way that inflation works. Things keep going up. unfortunately. Maria, how can we find out which Texas and DO schools accept international students? Great question. Taylor, the Choose DO Explorer, I'm assuming, is the answer.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then Enrique, all of your schools, I believe, are part of the MSAR that the AAMC puts out, the resource that they put out. So they would go there.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Hannah, are waivers still available for ACOMIS?
As of right now, they are, yes. So make sure you get your applications in soon if you want to be considered.
Go do it. And just a clarification on that. Fee waiver first, then submit. Not submit and then fee waiver, correct?
That is correct. The right order. It's not. Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Yep. Awesome. Great questions. Hello, that's me. Who else? Doc in a Box. How long do you have to reside in Texas to qualify for in-state?
They're thinking. Their mind's running. They're like, what can I do?
They're going. Yeah. So I'm assuming based on most states, it's typically a state law that determines what state residency is and how you qualify. Enrique, do you have an easy answer for this one?
There are two pathways for Texas residency. And number one is if you graduate from a Texas high school and lived here 36 months before, or if you have established Texas residency by living and establishing, maintaining domicile for a year. That is, in a huge nutshell, the actual rules are much more complicated.
Yep.
But if you have any questions, send us an email, info@tmdsas.com.
Awesome. Elizabeth, could we get a link to the DO Fast Facts flyer that was held up? I can't find it on the ACOM website.
So it's not posted on our website, but please email our choosedo@acom.org and we can send that to you ASAP.
Awesome. I mean, we can put you full screen and you can just hold it up and they can take a picture too.
Take a screenshot.
Let's do that. See who's listening to me. Nobody's listening to me. Let's put Taylor full screen. She can hold up her little fast fact sheet.
It is double sided also. Yeah, so we're gonna right.
There we go.
But yes, please give us an email.
Never mind. That text is too small. Yeah. All right. Wow. We tried. Next time. Dylan asks, quick question regarding DO surgical residency programs. So, all right. So there's a little clarification on this. Are you required to take USMLE outside of the required exams in DO school to be eligible to apply for surgical residencies? So first clarification point, right, Taylor, is there are no longer DO residencies and MD residencies as of 2020, I believe the quote unquote merger took place. All residency programs are single accreditation through the ACGME. All DOs can apply to all residency programs. All MDs can apply to all residency programs. So no special differences there. This is a big question. Do DO students, quote unquote, have to take USMLE to be considered for special residencies or maybe more prestigious or competitive residencies? What's the typical answer that ACOM is giving?
So that's actually outside of my team. So okay. I unfortunately cannot answer that for you, but I'm happy to consult with our graduate medical education team and see if we can get some answers.
Awesome. I can answer it unofficially.
I love it.
you don't have to take USMLE. All residency programs should accept COMLEX. Now, there is always going to be the one or two programs out there where there still may be some bias, unfortunately, and they may still want to see USMLE because that's what they're accustomed to. And so you will still find, and I don't know what the percentage is. Again, that may be an interesting question to get. What percentage of DO students are actually taking USMLE? And then specifically what residency programs they're applying to. I would love to see that data if it's available. Great question, Dylan. Jacob, should you apply to Texas schools even if you don't have a direct connection to Texas? Enrique, I believe, and I don't know if this is public, maybe you told me behind the scenes, one of the biggest differentiating factors for non-Texas residents is going to be that MCAT score. Yes, no, maybe so?
Ish. there are, again, that data report that the dashboard shares, what those averages look like. The average MCAT score for matriculated applicants last cycle was a 511.
Yep.
And that includes Texas residents and non-Texas residents. For non-Texas residents, it's about 5, 5 points higher, I believe.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there is a differentiating.
There's
factor,
a correlation there.
Not, there is, but yeah. I would not discourage anybody who doesn't have any ties to Texas from applying. Definitely apply.
Yep.
We have some amazing schools in the state, and the state is so huge. Since we're the center of the universe, there's bound to be something in Texas that really attracts folks.
The center of the universe. Awesome. On that note, the center of the universe, Taylor Jasko, Enrique Hasso, thank you so much for coming to MappedCon 2022, sharing your expertise all about the application services that you all represent. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. All that contact info was given out. If any of you watching have questions, go reach out. They are a friendly bunch to go answer some questions.
This is MedEd Media.